It's time to rejoice. Welcome to the Rejoice Podcast, a place to listen again, choose wisely, and live joyfully. My name is Joe Pellerito, and this is Episode 7, Redefine. Here at the Rejoice Pod, you get to hear lessons from a variety of people who have something in common, a reflective and resilient mindset. There are three basic steps to rejoice. Name the experience, choose a rejoice word beginning with the letters R-E, and then explain how your rejoice word colors that event. You can read more at rejoicepod.com, but now it is time for the show. Hey, I'm excited for you to meet Mel Trombley. There are times in our lives where we decide not to let circumstances define us. We choose who we want to be, and you'll hear that theme in Mel's story. Mel is now at the Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce as the Director of Leadership Programs, though I'd say she's been living the leadership lifestyle for many years now as a coach and teacher. When I think of Mel, I think of the words advocate, supporter, and courageous. She lifts my spirit whenever I see her, and I know yours will be just by hearing her today. Enjoy the episode. I'm so excited to have with us Ms. Mel Trombley. Mel, hi.
Hi, Jen.
It's so good to see you, and thanks for the cup of coffee. And as we're sitting right now, this is my first podcast that is off-site. I'm so excited. So as you're listening, we are actually sitting. Where are we, Mel?
We are at the Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce, and we're sitting in Amway too. So this is an Amway sponsored room.
That's great. And this is really beautiful out right now. The sun's shining. It's winter day, but you know, just walking around town for me it's fun.
Oh, I feel like I'm in Sex and the City in this job.
What do you mean?
I just get to walk around and coffee and mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty beautiful around here. So, mm-hmm. Hey, tell me, what's good, Mel? What's something good for you?
I have missed what's good from being a teacher with you at Kentwood Public Schools. Mm-hmm. So, what's good? Last night, Ferris Coffee closed down and hosted our Leadership Grand Rapids alumni launch party. And so, there was alumni. So, there's over 1,000 alumni, but there was alumni from this past year to alumni from the 90s there. And so we have some exciting programming, but really it was a great time just to kind of gather and meet new people and connect. And I think we're all drawn together like through a cause of being community trustees. So it was really, really fun.
Mel, you're a connector. I know that. And, and so I can just see you right now in your element.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I'm where I'm supposed to be.
All right. Well, I like to start things by playing a little game. Okay, so this is called this or that. You're not going to think very much.
Okay.
I'm just going to name two things, like red or blue, and you have to pick one. There's no real reasoning behind it. There's no in between. There's no purple. You would pick one of the choices, and guess what? I'm going to play two.
Okay.
How I would answer. And okay. We're going to see if we're alike or not.
I'm nervous.
All right, so I'll tell you what. We'll start with a softball.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready.
It's winter or summer. No, don't say it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is I'll say 1, 2, 3, boom, and we both answer.
Okay.
Not on three, but 1, 2, 3.
On the boom.
Answer.
Okay.
On the boom. On the boom. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Summer.
All right. Good. I had a feeling on that one. So what is it about summer that you love?
Oh, I just love the sunshine and being outside. And my parents live on the east side of the state, and they have a camper that they come over every weekend in the summer, so it's nice to be able to spend time with them.
You like being outdoors, too?
Yeah.
Me, too. And you know, truth be told, I actually do love winter as well. If there was a choice, I would have picked fall.
Oh.
That's my favorite.
Why fall, Joe?
I'm more comfortable in colder weather, and yet I can still do a lot of outdoor activities.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt summer is pretty incredible. You know, with everything that you can do. So, and of course, in our state, you get it all. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Lucky us.
All right. This is going to be an easy one. I already know. volleyball or soccer? So here we go. One, two, three.
Soccer.
Volleyball. All right. I already knew your answer.
Yeah. So why for you for volleyball?
Look who's being interviewed. This is pretty cool. You know what? Volleyball. I like soccer as well, but volleyball, it's just kind of fun. I don't see it as competitive. It's more of a get a bunch of friends together and play and see what you can do. And I just think it's fun. That's all.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So I know your history, but tell our listeners why it's soccer for you.
So I've been playing soccer since I was four. And then I played soccer at Grand Valley, then coached there for 4 or 5 years. Then with the Olympic Development Program, and then at Davenport, finished my career at Kentwood. I love soccer. I love the aggressiveness of it. I was a goalkeeper. I'm ultra competitive. I love it. I still play, but more just to see my friends weekly. But the Grand Valley State soccer team just won the national championship.
Whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop. That's amazing.
That's exciting. Yeah.
That's so cool. And for you to be able to still be a part of it and tied into it as an alumni, that's neat.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
All right. Burgers or sushi? One, two, three.
Sushi.
Burgers. All right. If we were right now at a sushi place, what kind would you get?
I would probably do something with tempura shrimp or like a dragon roll.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's not too hot, I don't really discriminate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Now you're going to wonder why I'm asking this one. So we're going to pretend we're going somewhere right now. Maru sushi or Ju sushi? I couldn't even say it right. All right. Ready? One, two, three.
Maru.
Ju sushi.
You were slow on that one.
I know I was. Well, and the truth is I've never been to either. But see, you're probably wondering where I'm getting this, and I happen to have a quick contact with your husband, Amir.
Oh, my gosh.
And he brought this up. So
yeah.
So why is it Maru?
I'm sure he told you.
He did, but.
I just want to eat in cute places, mm-hmm. and I think Maru is really charming and cute. And for me, it's not about the food, although their food's really good. But I want to be somewhere that's kind of unique, which
okay.
Amir and I disagree on very much.
And I would join you there. I picked the other one just because convenience, get it done, and I like sushi too. So, all right, we got one last one, Doritos or chocolate? One, two, three.
Chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a sweet tooth for sure. Is that you too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I only like plain potato chips.
Okay.
Not Doritos or any variants.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to switch now to the reminisce portion of our show. And this is just fill in the blank.
Okay.
Fill in the blank.
Yes.
All right. Words of wisdom. Never say no to the question, do you have a
second?
And who's that come from?
Joe Beal.
You got it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So Joe Beal, for both of us, is somebody that was very important. And for you, why? What does that mean? Don't wait, or do you have a second? What's that mean?
Yeah, I think, I think Joe just exhibited that. And I think as busy as his day was, he was there for people. And I think that's an incredible thing as a leader. Like he would know your family, and really cared about you. And so... Mm-hmm. I just think some of my best moments have been like popping down in Joe's office or going to Chubby's and just talking through life and laughing. And so I think that's really important as a leader, just to show up for people and create that space.
Yeah. And that's something you've carried today when you, it's almost a catchphrase. When you hear somebody say that, you're like, oh, this could be a moment.
Yeah.
This could be a moment.
Yep.
Joe Beal, for me, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but he's definitely one of the reasons I even became a teacher.
Oh, wow.
When I was at Western Michigan University, my degree was something different. And my mom, of all people, set an appointment up with Joe Beal at Northview High School, is where he was at the time. And for him to even clear a schedule to have an interview with some kid.
Yeah.
By the end of the interview, I was like, I want to be a teacher.
That's incredible.
Isn't that something? So
I almost left teaching to go coach at Central Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Beal, because he knew what he was doing, I was like, let's jump on a phone call. And he's like, no, why don't you come in?
No, look at that face to face.
And he walked me to my classroom.
Wow.
And I walked out of there. I knew exactly what I needed to be doing. So it was a great decision to stay.
Well, he's the reason why I eventually transferred to Kentwood as well. So anyway, let's go to the next one. This is just simply name that song.
I'm so bad at this.
You know what? That's what Amir said. Just part of the reason why I'm doing this. So this is fun for me. Here we go.
Oh, Ice Ice Baby. Are you going to sing it?
It's not Ice Ice Baby. You know what? So Amir brought this up. He said that he played this song for you after David Bowie died, I think.
Oh.
And your response was, why are you playing Vanilla Ice? That is Under Pressure.
Under Pressure.
With Queen and David Bowie.
That's embarrassing. I thought I knew that.
But you know what? And I played that for my wife this morning, and she goes, that's not a fair question. Because it really, you know what I should say is, yes, you win.
Yes.
Because really, it could have been any of those.
There you go.
So there you go. Thanks for playing on that one. All right. According to blank, this is a name. According to blank, don't worry about what people say about you. Let the naysayers nay. They will eventually grow tired of neighing. Any idea? So hint number two.
Mr. Ed?
Nope. Hint number two, and you're going to get it here. She always signs off by saying, be kind to each other.
Oh, Ellen DeGeneres?
Uh-huh. You got that.
Oh, she's my lady crush.
Yes. So
Amir probably told you that too.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so, all right. And what is it about Ellen that you...
Oh, I love her ability to connect and laugh and bring energy and be bold. And most recently, she wrote an article saying that it's really frustrating because she is that outgoing, extroverted person on TV. But when people meet her and are saying things like, make me laugh or say something funny.
Yeah, be a performer.
Yeah, she's like, no, I'm going to be who I am at that point. And if I don't feel that I need to be extroverted at that moment, I'm not going to be. And I thought that was something really incredible and probably something you can relate to, Joe Pellerito.
Yes. You know, it surprises people when they find out I'm more introverted than, you know, and I think a lot of people who are in that spot of having to perform.
Yeah.
You know, it's like running off a cliff.
Yeah.
Those performances. But truth be told, and it's not that I can't be extroverted. I certainly can. Just give me an hour to get my head straight and I'm ready to go, you know?
Yeah.
So
do you feel you have space for that in your job now?
I do. I definitely do. I definitely do. So it's, you know, whether that's a workout, listening to some music or meditating or any of that, I find that recharging and then I can bring it. So
cool.
As long as we know what we need.
That's important.
That is the important
thing.
All right. According to the website, there are over 79 countries represented at this school in Michigan.
East Kentwood High School.
That is correct. And it is also correct if you were to say Grand Valley State University.
Oh.
Isn't that something?
That's a fun fact.
That is a fun fact. And isn't it cool that, you know, we both got to work at a high school that is actually similar to a college in terms of the makeup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, East Kentwood High School is the number one most diverse high school in the state of Michigan, number 7 in the country. That's just a unique gem. I'm so glad my son gets to go there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think we had both taught teen leadership, which what a great way for students to be able to learn and grow with each other. And I think, wow, if all adults could have that experience, how much better would we all be?
Yeah, I guess for me, what it reminds me of is we may come from all kinds of places, but there's some universal ways we want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And to have people find their voice with others.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool thing.
Absolutely.
Our last question.
Okay.
Before we get into your word, okay? According to blank, this is another name, in her book, Becoming, If you don't get out there and define yourself, you'll be quickly and inaccurately defined by others.
Michelle Obama.
Ah, yes. So you've read the book.
Yeah, I listened to it, and she reads it.
Yes.
Which is exciting. Yeah.
I did as well, and I prefer audio, you know, especially when it's the actual author reading it. Pretty neat.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like she's my friend now.
That's cool. I love that. Hey, so there's a reason I picked that quote, too. And it's related very much to your word. So here we go, guys. We're drum roll, please. Boom. What's your word, Mel?
Redefine.
Mm-hmm. Redefine. So you don't need to go into super detail yet in terms of like the transitions and all of that, but why that word? Why does it resonate with you?
I picked redefine because I think at some pivotal moments of my life, I've had to redefine a number of things, from my identity to what success is, to how to fulfill passion, and probably most importantly, redefine what my needs are. And I think that just comes with maturity and being a mom now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right. So we're going to go into the past a little bit first. Where'd you grow up?
Clinton Township, Michigan.
Clinton Township.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. And then you came over to Grand Valley State University?
Yep.
So you've graduated college. What did you do right after graduation?
Oh, so I didn't think I was going to stay in Grand Rapids, but then they offered me a GA position and paid for my grad
What's
school.
What's GA mean?
Graduate assistant. So I was an assistant coach for the soccer team, and I still really defined myself very much as a college athlete. So this was a great way for me not to have to figure out my new identity yet. And I applied at one school, East Kentwood. I had volunteered there for something, and I interviewed, got the job, and worked there for 13 years. And that really rooted me in Grand Rapids. I was living downtown at the time, and so I've really just fallen in love with the city.
Mm-hmm. And so what did you, well, first, what do you love about the city? That's cool to hear that.
Ooh.
What is it about Grand Rapids that you love?
I love that we have some big city amenities, but it's still very much a small town. I think, you know, all the new things that are popping up, like the new food places or the new breweries that are coming or things that are happening for kids, and is really exciting. And then on a leadership perspective, I feel it is rare to be in a city our size mm-hmm. and to be able to make such an impact because our leaders are so close to us. And so I think that is just something that is really important.
Yeah, I think redefine, I mean, I think of that city, the city's redefining, you know, and it's really exciting to see. And as a lifelong resident for me, you know, I've definitely seen the changes over the years. So, all right, so 13 years at East Kentwood.
Yeah.
What did you love about that?
Oh, I loved everything.
Yeah?
I loved the kids. I loved my teaching staff. Everyone in my department was my mom's age, so I felt like I had 13 moms.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just learned so much from the kids. So I started off as a special ed teacher. But right away jumped in. Joe kind of pushed me into do, Joe Beal pushed mm-hmm. me to do National Honor Society, sophomore class advisor, all these things. And I think I really found my leadership. Mm-hmm. And I think in a place that has so many different kids, I thought the best thing was I could start to create space for these kids to thrive. And so that was really an exciting time for me.
You know, it's, you know, to hear that response, what'd you love about it? Everything. That, to me, that makes me wonder and really brings us to the reason why you selected your word redefine. Mm-hmm. Why would you leave if you love it so much?
Absolutely. I should have looked at what the book was called, but there's a book, and I think it's called Peak or something. And it is talking about you actually should make the pivots in your life when you're on top instead of waiting for them to decline. So people have the best thoughts of you when you leave, and you still have really positive thoughts. of that experience. You know, I was looking to have more of a systemic impact, but being an administrator was never going to fit my personality type because I really love the kids and relationships. So I was struggling to figure out what my next step was. Then I did Leadership Grand Rapids. And first, a person I work with told me their admin assistants made more money than I did. And that was a little bit of a punch in the belly.
Sure.
But then kind of made me really think, wow, what are some other jobs? And that group of people really gave me confidence that I could pivot and do something else with my skill set. Through that, my last couple years of teaching, I also had a mental health crisis. And so this is actually not something that I normally share for one of the reasons why I left teaching. But probably is at the heart of it. I needed to redefine what my needs were. I no longer had the capacity to teach and coach soccer and run the clothing closet and do all of these things and then come home and be a mom and a wife and take care of myself in some capacity. And I really tried to break up with a number of those activities, but I think one of the flaws of the school system, for any administrators listening, is they commonly target a few people to do everything, and really all teachers are capable. So I think spreading out those leadership experiences is better for everyone. But at some point I realized, like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thanks for sharing that with us. I know just thanks for honoring us by sharing that. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're pigeonholed as somebody like the cheerleader, that the cheerleader gets really tired sometimes of always being that same person, right? And yes, you have skill sets, but to be, how can we empower more rather than put it in one person?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So I can relate to that as well. So how did that feel then to even... I want you to take us to that moment where you're like, I'm going to do something different. How'd that feel, that moment? Mm-hmm. When did you decide that?
Yeah.
What was it like?
So when I was looking, and I all of a sudden was, through Leadership Grand Rapids, thrusted into a group with a number of community leaders from different sectors. And so then I had my eyes open, like, oh, maybe I can go work HR or do these things. But I really... wanted to make impact still and my needs. I wanted to feel good about what I was doing. Although making really good money, working HR was appealing at some level. I just realized I kind of needed to figure out. And then a job posted. And so I worked as a consultant, working with adults with new onset disabilities. And so I felt like this was a good balance. I was still doing something good, because when I was looking at the other jobs, and actually people often would say, even when I was doing my consulting or now, make me feel bad, like I've betrayed the kids for leaving. And so I think that was the biggest struggle, because I defined myself. I still actually really proudly define myself as a East Kentwood teacher. And I find in my conversations, you know, I say like, oh, I'm Mel Trombley, Director of Leadership Programs, but I taught at East Kentwood High School for 13 years because I think that's something that makes me really proud. So I really struggled with that.
Would you say you're teaching today?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I have found my jam at the Chamber. I'm teaching and facilitating adults, which, you know, I think I say this in a very positive way. Adults have very much the same needs as teenagers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the kind of the unique experience I can bring, is making people feel loved and they're strong leaders at every level. And not like in a mushy way, but similar as a teacher way, like how can I create space for people to grow and be successful? So, yeah. And so in my consulting, this was my rebound boyfriend. So I had a really fun, high energy, but very emotionally draining boyfriend as a teacher. And then I went to boring, rich boyfriend as a consultant. so I think I was still doing good work, but I only had 6 to 7 clients at a time, and I drove around the state. And so there's no way I was going to be fulfilled like I was teaching, seeing 120 kids a day. But it was really nice to have a break. Mm-hmm. And it was a really, 2 years of me kind of focusing on my family, being able to create my own schedule. My claim to fame is, for the first time in my life, I had more than 6 minutes to go to the bathroom, and I could charge my Starbucks. I mean, it was a whole new world for me. And I think it was the perfect balance, but I wanted the job I've been in now since I was in leadership Grand Rapids. So I feel really good to be here.
And what is that?
So I'm the director of leadership program. So
that.
Yeah. So I run our 5 leadership programs here at the chamber. 3 are very community facing. So how do you be a strong community leader, whether you are in business or nonprofit, or work part-time? Like, we all can have an equity lens. We all can work together to make change, and we learn when we all come together. And so I think that's unique. I can curate classes, not quite like Kentwood, but I can try and bring some unlikely people together, which is really exciting.
Yeah, back to what I said earlier, you're a connector, and I just really, I value that in you. I'll say a little bit more at the conclusion of our interview and what I see in you. But so you feel like you're in your jam right now.
Yeah.
So that's good. What are you looking forward to these days?
Yeah. Wow. So I definitely came in with an agenda in this job.
Mm-hmm.
So I hit the ground running, but I was learning and making decisions, and we've been able to build out 2020 and have a foundation. And so that way we can pivot and focus on people and not on the semantics of programs. So I'm really excited about that. Also, my daughter is 1 now. And so we've hit a really, just a great time in our family. My son, who goes to Grand Rapids Montessori, is almost 6 and 1. And so I feel like I'm not really a baby person. So now that she's like walking and interacting and sleeping, I feel just really blessed to be able to have that time with my family.
That's good. So,
Joe, what are you excited about for 2020?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you. So part of Rechoice, the reason why I even selected this idea, is there's something we always repeat. What do we repeat? And sometimes those aren't good things. We get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And so there comes a point where it's, do you want something different? And to claim that. And this time of year, right around the new year, a lot of people pick resolutions, right? I actually do that in November because that's my birthday. Like, what do I want for the following year?
Yeah.
So the word I've chosen is voice or revoice,
mm-hmm.
meaning I have to voice what I'm thinking more. I keep things to myself a lot. But that's also having people find their voice. So you can see the reason why we do the podcast then. So I'm looking forward to hearing. I already hear a lot of stories in my line of work that I'm like, I wish I could just pass that knowledge on to people. I wish I could. And so I'm looking forward to hearing a lot of stories in 2020.
That's great. Well, I hope we get to hear your stories too.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. So is there anything else you want our listeners to know in terms of when you think of redefine?
Yeah. I do, and I'm thinking about that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, so often the constructs we put ourselves in, we want to define ourselves by, I'm a teacher, I'm a mother, I'm a whatever your identity is, I'm this role. But I think redefining for something that's true to you always, to take some time to figure out like who your identity is,
mm-hmm.
I think is something that's really powerful and something I've really grown since leaving teaching is I can make impact. I can be fulfilled. I can do good in this world, no matter what role I'm in. And it doesn't have to be in a certain job title or be a mom in a certain way or a friend in a certain way. You know, I have my way. And I think the more people find that strength and ownership and love of themselves and their identity, I think it really just creates more space for you to live and make impact.
Yeah, so I'm hearing authenticity there.
Yeah.
Do you, you know, be you, and that's part of redefining.
Yeah.
Is that, well, defining by how I'm seen? No. By my job role? No. Who are you at your core? You know, that's, that, you know, is redefining something that happens to you or something that you create?
I mean, I think most time you have, like, life happens to you, and it has to be something bad or good or something that really makes you think mm-hmm. about, you know, who you are. There's something that's maybe testing that you think about that.
Yeah.
I'm a part of a group called Urban Girl GR, and one of the things, so it's an intentionally diverse group of women that want to create belonging in the city, and we're not allowed to be ask people what they do as our first question.
I love that.
And so then you're like, oh, what else do I ask? And so things we can do is like, what's good? What's hard? Those things, or what are you passionate about? And I think that helps. I don't know if this is true, but here in Europe, that's not even the first question. Mm-hmm. Is that true? Do you know?
I
hear that's a very American thing to, in the initial meeting of someone, to figure out what their job is.
You know, it's have you ever heard of the term golden handcuffs?
No. Tell me more.
It relates to people who make a job change.
Mm.
That I can't do something else because, and you fill in the blank, you know, my pension or this or that, you know, where it makes it hard to leave mm-hmm. and reinvent and redo something, you know? So, and whether that's teaching or anything, honestly. Those pivot points, you know, when I was at Thornapple Kellogg High School, I left at a point when I had it made.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why are you leaving? You know, why would I leave? What's on the other side? And the same thing now with what I do in my current role with the Flippin' Group. You know, when I finally made that change from public school teacher to Flippin' Group trainer. Mm-hmm. Leadership strategist is what I'm called. Why would I leave? I've ever left a job for bad reasons. I've always loved what I did.
Yeah.
And I know you're somebody who's always loved what they did too. I've never been a countdown. I can't wait till we're out of here. Never been that way. But so that book you said is called Peak or something like that?
I'll have to look it up.
That's all right. But you know, that resonates with me too. And sometimes it's good just to step away to redefine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what am I about? What is this about? What is there to learn? It's almost an expansion. You don't know what you don't know until you go.
Yeah.
Right?
So Joe, what are you... what's something about your identity that you're proud of and something that you struggle with?
Oh, shoot.
You said you're using your voice this year. I'm here to help you.
Oh, thank you, Mel. You know, one thing I really love in terms of identity, I feel like I'm a real open person. I really listen to a variety of perspectives. I'm a thinker more than people would know. I really like to think a lot, and all sides, by the way, you know, so I'm an open person. Something that I'd like, how did you phrase that question?
Like, what's a challenge you have with your identity?
I'm going to relate it right to that strength.
Yeah.
Cause you know, being open is a strength, but it can be an overused strength, which means it becomes a constraint. Mm. So there are times to make a stand. That's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of always hearing all these different sides that, no, there's a time where I have to redefine
Yeah.
And say, this is what I stand for. That also relates to conflict avoidance, which is definitely a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm agreeable. I'll listen to people's stories, but to actually be bold enough to ask a challenging question, make a stand, that's one thing I'm working on.
Wow.
And you can see how that, you know, you bet. And you can see how that relates to the word voice.
Yeah.
You better put yourself out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking that.
Absolutely.
I'm going to put it on you now, too.
Oh, I should have known that. I like actually being the one that asks questions.
Yeah. You know what? I've always noticed that about you.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, wait. So something I love about my personality, mm-hmm. I think, so I'm very close with my family and both of my brothers in very unique ways. So my older brother, he has cerebral palsy. And he has been so positive and makes everyone around him feel so good. People call him Brother Mike just because he just connects with everyone, especially young people. And then my older brother, people say he's like Mel on, you know, a ton of caffeine. He also finds the bright side in things. And so I think from them, the thing I'm proudest about my identity is, I think people know that I love them, you know, and I think it's not something that, I think it's something that comes really natural. I'm not doing things intentionally, but I think I can make people feel seen. And I think as a teacher, that was something that evolved and was like my biggest strength, I think. Yeah. And my constraint, so I think my constraint is, I sometimes want to be all things for all people.
Mm-hmm.
And really that is not strong leadership. And sometimes it's listening and then being like, yes, this will be something good for you to do, or connecting people. And, I feel like I want to help people or do the things or all of these.
You're a giver.
Yeah. And so I don't have enough time in the day to do that. And then when I'm doing all these things for all people, then I have no capacity to do all the things for my family and absolutely zero capacity for myself. And so I think it's really something I need to be intentional about. Yeah.
That saying, it's hard to give from an empty cup.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to wrap things up now. It's funny you say what you just said. Just first, thank you so much for your friendship, Mel. I mean that.
Yeah.
And when I transferred from Thornapple Kellogg to Kentwood, you know, it's tough to be the new guy, especially for somebody who's more introverted. You know, we say a lot of times in organizations, oh, we're welcoming and all, but yeah. are we really intentional and always looking out for who's not included when groups are already formed.
Mm-hmm.
Mel, every time you've been that person to me, you're so invitational. I needed that back in however long ago it was, but still to this day when I see you somewhere, you're so invitational to me. Thank you for welcoming me wherever I'm at when I see you.
Well, Joe, I feel the same way about you. I get so excited to see you and get a big Joe Pellerito hug. And really, you helped to, so I did student council, which was a beautiful experience, but being able to teach advanced teen leadership changed my life.
Mm.
And it really gave me space to realize, you know, like, there's a leader in everyone. And yep. I think the work through the flipping group and your mentorship, and how you just uplifted and changed lives, I think was always something that I was really inspired by.
Well, thank you. Hey, I've got one last song.
Oh gosh.
Here we go. See how long it takes. I bet you can name that tune pretty quick.
Oh yay.
You got it, don't you?
Well, I hope so.
Okay, who do you think it is?
Is it Mariah Carey?
Oh, of course it's Mariah Carey.
I was so nervous after my loss.
You got it.
I hope you sing for me.
I don't know it very well, but I know this is called Someday. Ooh, ooh, Someday, right? And with that, it's your someday is today, everybody. It's time to redefine. Thank you so much, Mel.
Thank you, Joe.
And peace out. Have a great 2020.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. You can read more about Mel in the show notes. I've linked an article from last year that gives you just a glimpse of Mel's courage. I'm excited by the participation we've been having so far, and I think you're going to love our upcoming episodes. My friend Julie Stapp once told me, if you're waiting for someone to tell your story, you may never tell it. Well, listeners, hey, I'm asking. So there are a few ways you can participate, anonymously or not. It's not a contest. It's your connection, and your lessons are valuable. So go to rechoicepod.com to learn more or to share feedback. Like the Rechoice Pod group page on Facebook and interact with the show there. Occasionally, I'll ask a question related to an episode, and we'll read listener responses right on the show. And, of course, subscribe! We are on all the major podcasting platforms. Thanks to Danny Pellerito for producing our theme music. Reframe your past, renew your present, reclaim your future, because, after all, it is always a choice.